This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers, and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Yay. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death.
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never.
George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard
when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led, like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
God.
Excellent. Hallelujah. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by filling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Oh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America, not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
Mm-hmm. President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been, as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind. and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah, huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh, that sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone.
It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah.